Yes, the power of the risen one, the God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. Sing that one last time. The God who was and is. Power of the risen. The God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of
Lord, we just pray for miracles today. Lord, I pray for those who are sick, that you would bring healing. I pray for those who are discouraged, that you would bring hope. Lord, I pray for those who are weary, that you would bring refreshment. Lord, I pray for those who are anxious, that you would bring peace. Lord, I pray for those who are lonely, that you would bring your comfort and your love. Lord, you are the God of miracles, and today we trust in you. Today we look to you to do a miracle in each and every life here, with each and every person here. Lord, it could be physical, it could be mental, it could be social, it could be spiritual. Lord, we pray for your miracle. We believe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wow. Kind of don't want to end. I was thinking we could change our name to the Overwhelming, Never-Ending Love of God Church. The initials would kill any t-shirt, but it sounds good. Now, well, I'll tell you, I was kind of undone after that one song, too. That caught me off guard. But thank you. Let me just start by reading a scripture for this morning. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. You know, I hear that passage, and you hear it, and there's something that catches you maybe partway through that. It talks about outsiders. And I think sometimes in the church, that's how we look at everyone else. That we're on the inside, and they're on the outside. That we've got the good news, they're just bad news. You know, that we're going to hold it to ourselves, and we're going to come together in the holy huddle, and we're just going to let them just, good luck on your own. And I think that's the whole point of today's message, is that what I want you to see is when you hear the word outsider, it's not someone to be kept at arm's length, but it's someone to invite in. You ever see those movies? You know, it's in almost every classic movie, right? The orphan or the homeless person or the out-of-the-luck person, they're walking, they're trudging through the snow, they're hungry, they're tired, they just want a place to lay their head, and they look, and what do they see? They look and they see the family in the warm home with the fire going and the big turkey, you know, and they're eating and they're laughing and they're drinking and they're having so much fun, and they're oblivious to the person outside. You see, that's the problem, isn't it? Is that there are people who are hurting, who are hungry, who are lonely, who are cold, who need the warmth and the love of Jesus Christ. And you see those scenes, those movies, you just want to say, turn around, somebody, because they always got their back to the window, right? Turn around. And so what I want to instill in you today is such a hunger to look outward, such a desire to look outside and not just hold the people who are outside at arm's length and say, oh, come on in where it's warm. You see, today what I want to talk about is taking a risk in your neighborhood. Now, that's a little rough, right? Because it's easy to share Christ with strangers because they'll never see you again. But your neighbors, man, your neighbors you see all the time. Your neighbors see you all the time, right? And they know how you really are. And so to think that you might possibly have a witness with your neighbors is why would you even want to do that? And here's the short of it is that because the Bible is good news. And it's meant to be shared. And we all want to have a positive influence in our neighborhood for the kingdom of God, but here's what I want to ask you today is what is God wanting you to say as well as not say to your neighbors about his amazing love? And how can our neighborhoods become a place of peace and ministry that flows naturally from our relationships and not just turning our neighbors into our religious projects? Okay? So here's the awkward part for me today. Is that I want to tell you about my neighborhood without telling you about my neighbors. Now, I made sure they're all on vacation this week, so actually this is not a bad week for that, because some of them do come to this church. And I was thinking back when we first moved into our neighborhood, you know, I was on a mission to, you know, I was going to get them all coming to church, and I was going to tag them for Jesus, you know. And so I remember we'd get together with them, and I'd try to work Jesus into every conversation. You know, I'd say, you know, is this seat saved? Are you? You know, and things like that, you know. And just horrible. And I remember one time after my wife looked at me and said, stop trying, start praying. That's my wife. You know, she's Jesus with skin. And so I realized, you know, and when I read that passage, you start with prayer, right? Someone said this to me once. They said, talk to God about your neighbors before you talk to your neighbors about God. And I thought that was interesting that this passage talks about where do you start? You devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, Paul says. And also James says, pray for each other so that you may be healed. You see, there's a wholeness that God wants to bring to your neighborhoods as well as to your own lives. And if we see our neighbors or the people we work with or the people at school or wherever you happen to be, if we see them as some religious project that we're going to, you know, tag for the kingdom, we're in trouble. I want to just maybe encourage you today that maybe Christian faith is not about getting your neighbors for God, but about loving your neighbors. I think Jesus said that, didn't he? And so as I started thinking about, you know, just what is this prayer that Paul is talking about here? He says, first, that it's devoted. It's a continuous intentional effort. It's a priority. It's not an afterthought. It means you set apart. You set apart your time. You set apart your efforts. You set apart your place in your heart to concentrate on a particular purpose. I love the way one commentator said it. He said, it's a gritty determination not to give up until God's response comes. And so the question I have for you, am I listening for the Spirit's promptings and waiting until I receive an answer? And notice there are a couple words about prayer in here that are so key. First, it says that prayer is watchful. Now some people think that that's about watching until Jesus returns, and you can interpret that way, but I think it's more being watchful in the present day. I think it's a persistent, vigilant alertness. In other words, do I know what my neighbors need prayer for? And now, that's not about being a busybody or gossip, right? It's about being aware and concerned, noticing, being engaged in the lives of the people around you. So I can tell you that I've talked to my neighbors about church, and some of them have come, some of them not. But I do know this, is that at the end of the day, I believe, and you can ask them if you ever see them. Actually, don't do that. But I believe that my neighbors know that I care about them. And what I have found over the years is now, we moved in our neighborhood in 1990, right? 1990. And you know, I can think of over the years, the neighbor who was pregnant and was told her child might have Down syndrome, and praying for her. I think about the neighbor whose friend died. I think about the neighbor who went through a hard divorce, and I think about our neighbor who got cancer, eventually died. And I think of every one of those neighbors, God gave me opportunities to pray for them. And even when I wasn't praying with them, I was praying for them. And so I think that there's a key that God's calling us to here is to be watchful, to notice the needs, the hurts, the joys. And you know, you're within a stone's throw of your neighbors, right? And to be thankful. Do I thank God for my neighbors? Do I thank God for my friendship with my neighbors? And here's the question. Do I have a friendship with my neighbors? See, that's the real key here. And then also Paul says, pray for us also. Because Paul's saying, look, it's be other-centered. The only way you can pray for others is to be less focused on praying for yourself. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with praying for yourself. But I just find that oftentimes when I go to God, it's all about me. And I wonder if we were just to say, you know what, I'm just going to start praying for my neighbors. I'm not going to start, you know, pushing, you know, protesting, doing, I'm not going to do any of that. I'm just going to love and pray. Because the thing that Paul says here that catches my attention is that God may open a door for our message. And I think we need to let God open the door. We can't force that. Our job is to care. Okay? And this morning, you're gonna hear me just say three key phrases, okay? It's about prayer, care, share. Okay? Now you probably said, oh man, that didn't seem very deep. And to be honest, I don't know if it is, but there is depth in the ramifications of how that's carried out as you think about your neighborhood. And so I just know when I think of having love and concern and caring helpfulness, I just found that with our neighbors, I kind of set down my agenda very early on. Well, that's another story. I'm not going to share that. We prayed this morning. I said, pray, Lord, I wouldn't share things I shouldn't, and I won't. But I do know this, that as I thought about what does it mean to love my neighbor, we just started doing life together with our neighbors. You know, so when the kids were little, we invited them over. All the neighbor kids, we had pizza, and we went trick-or-treating together, right? We took our neighbors, we went to Giants games. We started having barbecues together. At Christmas, we'd exchange gifts. At New Year's, we'd get together. When my one neighbor got cancer, I would take him to some of his treatments when his wife wasn't available. And never with the intention of, it's Halloween, children, let's talk about evil. No, that wasn't it, right? That wasn't it. Or, you know, let's pray for God's goodness to fill our neighborhood this day. Now, by the way, I do pray for that. But, you know, I don't know about you, but I don't think the goal is to pigeonhole. And see, that's the interesting thing about this is that as Paul talks about reaching outsiders, he talks about prayer, he talks about care, and then very last is share. Very, very last is share. So that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Now I think it's interesting that Paul would say that. Now, literally, he was in chains at the time he wrote this, by the way. But just that Paul was in a position of humility, right? He wasn't in a position of power. He was a servant of the Most High God. And with chains on, he shared the joy that was in his heart whenever God gave him an opportunity. And he said, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. You know, they're sharing with clarity. Or be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. They were sharing with wisdom. I know when my neighbor was going through the cancer treatment, we would just talk about just everything, you know, under the sun. And I remember one particular drive, we were going to San Francisco for treatment, and he said to me, he said, just kind of out of the blue, so what do you think happens when you die? Wow. God, you didn't open a door, you opened a freeway on that one, right? So I'm thinking, okay, what do I say? And, you know, and so I just thought, okay, it was my little brain was going like hamster on a wheel, right? You know, I thought, okay, I just have a moment here to share something and without overkill. And so I just very gently and lovingly, I just said, what I believe happened. And I really do believe this. And I remember a couple months later, he was in the hospital. And I was there seeing him, and somebody came in and they asked him what his religious preference was or something like that. Like, you know, what do you want for breakfast? What's your religious preference? Things like that. Do you have a pastor that, or a church? And he looked at the guy and he said, well, he's my pastor. Now, granted, this neighbor had never been to church ever before. And I don't think he said it because I'm an ordained clergyman. Okay, I think he said it because I was his friend and his neighbor who loved him and ministered to him. Now, not too long after that, I had the privilege of sharing and leading a memorial service for him. He's a good man. And I don't know if he ever came to church. I think he came once when we were at the Concord Pavilion, and I was sharing, and they all kind of felt sorry for me, and they all came. And afterwards, you know, I said, what do you think? That was very nice. You want to go out to lunch? You know, and that was it. Okay. But I think in relationships, I think Jesus is in there. So I think sharing your faith story, bringing people to church to hear the gospel message, that's the last step of the process. And if you think that you're going to ignore your neighbors your whole life or be distant from the people you work with, and then all of a sudden you're going to invite them to church and there's going to be miraculous healing, I don't know. I mean, I think sometimes it works. Anybody here that happened to? That's what I thought. Okay. Anyone here because someone just cared and loved them? That was pretty big, wasn't it? If you don't have your hand up, you're just cold. Okay. Anyone here? Because someone scared the heck out of them? No, okay. You know, so here's the thing. Here's my question to you. Are you ready to make the most of every opportunity? And what does making the most of every opportunity look like? I think it's more than just being a nice person. I think that's what we think. I think we think that if our neighbors see us going to church, and if we just smile a lot, maybe, just maybe, they'll come to know Jesus. Now maybe that happens. But I think more often than not, I think people see Jesus in the messy grittiness of life, right? And as we do life together, I think that means a couple things. First, I think it means that we need to be available. We need to be present in our neighborhoods. We need to be intentional. I was talking to a church planner in the inner city, and he said, I would much rather minister in the inner city than the suburbs. Because in the inner city, everybody kind of gathers around because we don't have air conditioning in our homes, or we just kind of gather around wherever that may be, and people are a lot more available. Where as people get more money, they become more separate and more sheltered and more preoccupied and more busy. And he says, I feel sad for you. That was interesting. And so, you know, I started thinking about when I've had my most profound opportunities for ministry, okay? And you know what it is? It's trash talks and dog walks, okay? In other words, and it sounds silly, but when I'm bringing up my trash, now I don't wait for my neighbors. Oh, good, they're here. Hurry. You know? Kiss the bucket, quick. No, I don't do that, you know. There have been times, God, whenever I take out the trash, create a conversation. And you know what? It happens. Or sometimes I'll be pulling in, and it's been a long day, and my neighbors just got in the car, and we get to talk a little bit about their day. Or when I walk my dog, I've got a yellow lab. God bless you for trying. And my neighbors, you know, I live in a dog neighbor or a pet neighborhood, right? If there was a fire at my house, I have no doubt the dog would be saved and I would die. But that's a whole other story. But you know, I just find that when I'm taking my dog for a walk, there are opportunities of things I could not have planned. But God opens the doors, and I think that there's an opportunity to ask the real questions, and I don't mean, you know, have you read your Bible today? No. it may just be how's life going, and then really listen, right? I mean, that's true for all of life, right? Really listen, really care, and maybe ask the hard question. You know, are you doing okay with this? Cause, you know, I know it's whatever. And again, I want to tell you about my neighborhood without talking about my neighbor. But I just know that when Paul says, let your conversations be full of grace and seasoned with salt, I take that seriously. I think to have a grace-filled conversation, there's a loving graciousness and a general civility to our conversation, right? You know, I remember around election time, right? My neighbor was opposite me. That's all I'm going to say, right? And to be honest, we had some great conversations because they would, they'd say, how's your candidate doing? I said, well, how's your doing? You know, and we both like, oh. And I said, that's why I pray, you know. And then we'd have this conversation about Jesus and because it stopped with the politics. And yet at the same time, I've also had conversations where I've just realized that they're watching. You know? And I wonder, how do you talk about Jesus? I've heard some of you talk about ball games, right? And it's like, it's so exciting and riveting. I got to judge at the Clayton Rib Cook-Off. And I'm sitting there with all these people I don't know, right? And everybody's weighs about 300 pounds. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. But I'm sitting there around the table. And you know what they talk about in between the judging? They talk about barbecuing. They live for barbecue. And you know, and they talk about with such passion. I mean, it's just like they're making love to a chicken. I shouldn't have said that either. You just take me out back and slap me after this morning. Yeah, just runs in prayer deeply. But you know, it's just like they there's just such a gentle caress and a love. And I go, wow, do I talk about Jesus like that? Or do I get on my religious hat and just sound really boring? You know, because there's an engaging conversation. To be able to tell your story in a way that's engaging and interesting. And I had a person said, when you talk about Jesus, and this is what they said, really, is it full of vibrant images and pungency? I don't even know what that means, but it got my attention. I think that's what it means when it's seasoned with salt. I don't know about you, but when I see what God's, like when I've what God's been doing here this morning, even in the worship time, you know what? That's not boring to me. When I hear about the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God, man, I'm a wreck. You know, and I thought, why do I just think that I have to be timid about Jesus, or I can't be excited about Jesus, or if someone talks smack about Jesus, why I can't talk smack back in a respectful, loving way, of course. But I think seasoned with salt is you don't just, you know, are you able to answer the sincere query or push back the malicious challenge and not just roll over. Or go silent at the first sign of disagreement. God, what should I say or not say? Give me a voice that is full of grace and seasoned with salt. And then the third part of that is that so that you know the so what, or the so that. Because he says, so that everyone may know, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And I thought about that. I thought about, do we know what we believe? Are we ready, willing, and able to share with anyone who has an interest? Whenever we have an opportunity, whether it's a couple minutes or a couple hours, do we have the opportunity not just to gather people up so we can blast them with the gospel, but that we can share our lives with people that we generally care about? And I think that's what separates us from some slick salesperson. I don't think God asks us to be salespeople. You know, he says, be fishers of men, fishers of women, you know. Any of you fish? Anybody? Okay, just checking. Okay, that's a slow process, right? I think it's a painful process, right, in many ways. And I found, when I was a kid growing up, my best conversations was with my dad fishing. Hated fishing, but I loved my dad. And so I wonder, are you ready, willing, and able to share with anyone who has interest? Will you take a risk for your Jesus in your neighborhood? And so here's what I want to just challenge you. Now, Don't leave here, and if your spouse says, "So what'd you learn in church?" They said, "I got to get a dog and take out the trash." No, I don't think that's what this morning is about. I think this morning begins with praying for your neighbors. I think this morning is about you just heard the good news. Why can't that spill over into your regular life? You know, and so just so you know, our role as a church is not to hold your hand through every conversation, right? I mean, you're talking to your neighbor and they ask about God and you say, "Wait, let me get my pastor and put it on speakerphone." You know, don't, no, no, we'll hang up, okay? Because, well, Ron won't, I would. But I think, okay, where do I start? Okay, so can I give you some thoughts here, some ideas? Okay, so why don't you just start praying for your neighbors? Start there. Maybe have them over for a barbecue and don't try to make it just a religious agenda night. Maybe just love your neighbor. Okay? Okay, so now as a church, our job is to set up opportunities to bring people in a non-threatening kind of way, right? So that's why we have the movie nights, right? August 12th, right? We're having a bocce night, right? By the way, I last time we did bocce as a church, I invited one of my neighbors. She had so much fun. So this year, I'm bringing my whole neighborhood, and our team's going to kick your butts, okay? We're going to call ourselves the Carolina Cruisers. I live on Carolina Drive. And by the way, if you see my neighbors, don't just say, "Oh, Pastor talked about you last Sunday." Do not do that. Did the pastor get you? Don't even call me pastor. Just, "How you doing?" Try that, okay? "How you doing?" Okay, you know, it's maybe invite your neighbors to bocce and then say, "Okay, well, who are you going with?" "Well, some friends from church." "Okay, I guess. I like bocce." Okay? I think I'm at a place in life where I'm learning to relax about certain things, right? Because I remember we used to have a church event, and I remember I was talking to my staff. I said, "So if we have staff and we're at Skipolini's, are people going to buy beer?" And my staff just said, "You gotta relax. You gotta relax." And I find actually, I was talking to my friend Father Mangini, is that they actually serve alcohol at church events, and that's why they're giving so much better. But Just saying, you know. Now, if somebody from here, if you show up to bocce drunk, I'm going to be a little annoyed, okay? But we're just going to relax, okay? We're just going to relax a little. Okay, so and here's the other thing, okay? Now here's the big one, okay? So you may not want to do any of those things. Mick was really good. He drew up these cards called "What's Next," right? And on the back is an invitation to our Vision Sunday, right? Now that's kind of the big ask, right? Your neighbors might not be there, but I know that I have some people in my life that are not church people, and I would love to just go up to someone and say, you know, "Hey Dan, think about what's next," and then I'm just going, no, I would not do that to you, Dan. No, I would not. I'm sorry, Dan. I'm sorry. It looks good. Good. By the way, it's permanent marker on the back, but and it just says, "Please join me at Clayton Community Church Vision Sunday." So here's the thing: on Vision Sunday, right, we're going to come to church. By the way, there are about 1,000 more at the entrance. We're ready for you. And so Vision Sunday, and here's what I got to tell you: is that on that day, I promise you, we will give our best effort. We will give our very best effort to give a compelling reason for Jesus. And so we're just going to meet once at 10 a.m. We're going to set up tables all around here. It's going to be like a big dining room. Ask you about this yet? Okay, good. Dairy's Catering. We worked it out a long time ago. And then we're basically all the staff is going to come, and it's not going to be a sales pitch, okay? It's not going to be a sales pitch. All we're going to do is share with you the vision that we have, making a difference in people's lives with the love of Jesus Christ, okay? And we're going to walk people through it. Now here's the thing: if you ever want your neighbor to know what church is about, that's a good Sunday, by the way. That's a good Sunday. Now here's the thing. I just know that you're hearing this message and you're probably saying, "Okay, so I don't get why this is so important to you." And I think it's because it's important to God. I don't think you've ever laid eyes on a person who doesn't desperately matter to Jesus. I don't think you've ever met a person who Jesus didn't give his life for. And I think that counts for something. And I think that that so often we get, I mean, I loved what Lexi said earlier, we get so wrapped up in stuff that we forget that there are people with real needs, and real hurts, and real dreams. And I just know that I can't think of a person on this planet that Jesus doesn't meet them at the deepest place of their need. I can't think of a person that you've ever met that wouldn't be changed by the love of Jesus. And I think part of that is because I believe this is the place where we partner with you to let Jesus change you. I don't know all the things that are going on in your life. I don't know the hurts or the hardships or the difficulties. But I do know this is I believe God has brought you here. So that's why for me, I read these words about making most of every opportunity with those who are outside. It's not so we can hold them at arm's length and get our little holy huddle. It's so we can say, come on in, where it's warm and there's food and there's people who love you and share life with you. I think the more we listen to God and ask him to show us and give us those opportunities, the more it's going to happen. So I just want to pray for you, and then we're going to take communion. The Bible says, greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life for a friend. I think that's what communion is Jesus is calling his friends and saying, would you be my friend? That's what being a Christian is all about, by the way, is being a friend of Jesus. And I think if God cares for us so much, as we take communion, I pray that we are reminded of God's love for us, but also God's love for others. This is good news to you. Let me pray for you. You guys sing the Reckless one again? That's what you watch. I'm in trouble now. Okay. Let me just pray for you, and then we're going to communion served. We're going to be singing, but we also just want this to be your time. So, elders and leaders, would you come up while we pray? Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for our neighbors. Lord, I love my neighborhood. I love my neighbors, and I think I've had the privilege of watching those relationships grow, and I don't know if any of them are going to come to church, but I know that you love each and every one of them. I pray that you would give me opportunities and love for them always. And Lord, I know there are people here whose neighbors are mean and nasty, or maybe they're the mean and nasty neighbor, I don't know. But I pray, Lord, that you would change all that. Thank you for